By 7 o'clock, Troop D's TV reception, always an important consideration when you were off the road, had returned to normal. Dispatch communications were back to normal. Mr. Dillon had eaten his usual big bowl of gravy train and then hung out in the kitchen, trolling for scraps, so he was back to normal. And when Kurt poked his head into the SC's office at 7:45 to tell Sandy he wanted to go into the shed and check on his specimens, Sandy could think of no way to stop him. Sandy was in charge of Troop D that evening, no argument there, but when it came to the Buick, Kurt had as much authority as he did. Maybe even a little more. Also, Kurt was already wearing the damn yellow rope around his waist. The rest was looped over his forearm in a coil. "Not a good idea," Sandy told him. That was about as close to no as he could get. "Bosh!" It was Curtis's favorite word in 1983. Sandy hated it. He thought it was a snotty word. He looked over Kurt's shoulder and saw they were alone. "Curtis," he said, "you've got a wife at home, and the last time we talked about her, you said she might be pregnant. Has that changed?"
"No, but she hasn't been to the—"
"So you've got a wife for sure and a maybe baby. And if she's not preg this time, she probably will be next time. That's nice. It's just the way it should be. What I don't understand is why you'd put all that on the line for that goddamn Buick.
Come on, Sandy. I put it on the line every time I get into a cruiser and go out on the road. Every time I step out and approach, it's true of everyone who works the job."
"This is different, and we both know it, so you can quit the high school debate crap. Don't you remember what happened to Ennis?"
"I remember," he said,
and Sandy supposed he did. But Ennis Rafferty had been gone almost 4 years by then. He was, in a way, as out of date as the stacks of county Americans and should be. And as for more recent developments, well, the frogs had just been frogs. Jimmy might have been named after a president, but he was really just a gerbil. And Curtis was wearing the rope. The rope was supposed to make everything all right. Sure, Sandy thought. And no toddler wearing a pair of water wings ever drowned in a swimming pool. If he said that to Kurt, would Curtis laugh? No. Because Sandy was sitting in the big chair that night, the acting SC, the visible symbol of the PSP. But Sandy thought he would see laughter in Kurt's eyes just the same. Curtis had forgotten the rope had never been tested. That if the force hiding inside the Buick decided it wanted him, there might be a single last flash of purple light, and then nothing but a length of yellow line lying on the cement floor with an empty loop at the end of it. "So long, partner. Happy trails to you. One more curious cat off hunting satisfaction in the big nowhere." But Sandy couldn't order him to stand down as he'd ordered Matt Babicki to drive down the hill. All he could do was get into an argument with him, and it was no good arguing with a man who had that bright and twirly let's-play-bingo look in his eyes. You could cause plenty of hard feelings, but you could never convince the other guy that you had the right side of the argument. "You want me to hold the other end of the rope?" Sandy asked him. "You came in here wanting something, and it surely wasn't my opinion." "Would you?" he grinned. "I'd like that.